Hi everyone, this is Veronika Kirilenko of the New American Magazine. We're in Washington, D.C. attending CPAC, and with us we have an amazing Dr. Robert Malone, our old friend, and he's an esteemed scientist, and he gained an international recognition as one of the most prominent leaders of the medical freedom movements. Dr. Robert Malone and his wife, Jill Malone, Glasspool Malone work very hard to arm people with knowledge on matters ranging from vaccinology, epidemiology, to the strategies and tactics of the fifth generation warfare. Dr. Malone, it's great to see you. So the public health emergency and national emergency for COVID are set to expire on May 11th, but it looks like the governments and international organizations are all working actively to prepare for the next pandemics. What do you know about that? Please share.
So I think you're talking about the discussions that are happening right now about the revised international health regulations. And it's interesting that these are being held in a much more closed and secret environment than they were previously, when the prior discussions got sidetracked and blocked by a consortium of African and Latin American states that didn't want to lose their sovereignty. Regarding the expiration of the declaration of emergency in the United States, that if you go back to what was said by the Biden administration, they said that they intended to do so, but they didn't actually commit to doing so. Furthermore, what is expiring will not cover the emergency use authorization. And so what we have is a kind of a forward-looking statement that they're going to do this. Let's wait and see until they actually do it. As I say, don't spend the money until the check is actually in the bank. And we've seen so many misdirections and manipulations of information that I have no trust that anything that is said these days is actually going to come to pass. In terms of the World Health Organization and the international health regulations, I was just in Mexico City testifying about this to the Mexican Senate, and also talking about the whole arc of the history of the COVID crisis and comparing the United States actions to the actions of the Mexican government. And the Mexican government has maintained their sovereignty. They have not gone along with a lot of the fear and hype and manipulations that have been promoted by the World Health Organization and the CDC and others. There's a long history in Latin America of wariness about the CDC anyhow, and so it's not too much of a surprise, but I think that Mexico provides an interesting counterpoint. And also I'm hearing Japan is not implemented these mandate measures. And I was just told that the Japanese Medical Association, the leading Japanese Medical Association, has now come out with a clear and explicit statement that hydroxychloroquine is effective for the treatment of COVID-19. So Japan is another nation that has absolutely refused to go along with all the fear and the counterproductive public health policies that have been promoted by the U.S. government and the World Health Organization. I think that's our challenge now going forward, is to counter the messaging that is continually reinforced by the World Health Organization that they've done a good job managing this. Clearly, they have not done a good job managing this, and they have to promote that narrative because that's what they are using to justify more money and more power. And this unilateral power that the Biden administration seems hell-bent on granting them, to allow them to set policy and to basically circumvent American sovereignty and the sovereignty of nations all over the world in order to implement their pandemic policies. And what we've learned and seen is that their pandemic policies have been arbitrary and capricious. They had very different policies before COVID. Then they suddenly changed them to align with the CCP policies. Then they repeatedly flip-flopped all the way through this while actively managing information and serving as the hub for what is approved information that is the only thing that's been allowed by the press and the social media. If anything that was said that was different from the WHO policies was labeled as mis or disinformation, or here in the United States, malinformation, and defined as domestic terrorism. But if you look back, they flip-flopped all the time. What was truth? They never were grounded in scientific truth. It was always about politics, international geopolitics, various corporate interests. None of this was well-grounded in science, and we can see this. But now they're trying to claim that this mismanagement that they've done justifies them having even more power and more money through these revised international health regulations that they're trying to jam through in a way that would make it so that the U.S. Senate doesn't have to approve them as a treaty. I mean, this is just nefarious.
But at least 19 senators are pushing back, and Senator Ron Johnson, he introduced the legislation that these kinds of amendments to the international health regulations must be considered an international treaty. Therefore, they must be approved by the Congress.
And yet you only have 19 senators agreeing with that. All the rest of them have no spine and are quite willing to allow the President of the United States and the executive branch to establish international treaties that would circumvent the Constitution and grant national sovereignty to one of these international or transnational organizations, the World Health Organization. I'm shocked that it's so few senators that are willing. And that's a bill that was put together by Senator Johnson in the prior session. So I spoke to him about this directly. Even Senator Johnson and his aides are confused about what is actually going on with these IHR amendments that are being pushed. It's all being done quietly under the table without allowing any of us to have any insight into what they're actually trying to advance and propose.
Looking back at the way that COVID crisis was managed, many people feel outraged. And they feel so furious about the suppression of early treatments, about the vaccine mandates, about the federal government recommending young children getting those vaccines and getting injured. And therefore, one of the pressing issues, I guess, that people are discussing online and offline is a matter of holding those people responsible. What are your thoughts on that? I remember last year when we spoke at the CPAC, you said, oh, well, Republicans will retake the House, the Senate, and they will start investigating. But they didn't retake the Senate. What's next?
So this is a real problem, and it's a problem on multiple levels. I spoke about this to many members of the Conservative Party in the UK a couple of weekends ago when I went there to support Andrew Bridgen, who has spoken out about the jabs and being evicted from the Conservative Party in the UK as a consequence, by Rishi Sunak, who labeled him as a anti-Semite because he quoted an Israeli scientist who said that what is happening here is akin to the Holocaust. And that was the justification for labeling him an anti-Semite. What I spoke to the Conservative Party holds true really globally. These efforts to deny by governments all over the world, to deny the crimes, truly crimes, the tragedy of what's been done, the cost in human life, the cost in human sacrifice, economics, damage to children. We can go on and on and on about this. There is an ongoing effort to suppress information which would illuminate this. We all know it. We can see it. The New York Times documented it, that the CDC is withholding crucial medical information about what has transpired here. And if you think through, this is not only a question of, or an issue of, blocking informed consent. By withholding this information, it's making it so that physicians are not fully aware of the future risks that may manifest from these, that have taken these vaccines, particularly those that have taken them repeatedly. And that means that since physicians are not aware of the risks, they can't manage their patients to prevent those risks. What's happening here is you're preventing good medical care by blocking the ability of physicians to become truly aware of what the risks are and manage their patients prospectively so that they're monitoring them for cardiac risk, stroke risk, and the other major consequences, reproductive risks, etc. And now we have this new risk that Pfizer, the Pfizer director worldwide for RNA vaccine strategy identified, which is essentially that Pfizer believes that the menstruation irregularities are driven by damage to the endocrine system. That's essentially, if you think about what he said, that Pfizer's leading hypothesis is that there's damage to the hypothalamic pituitary adrenal gonadal axis. That's the endocrine system. And if Pfizer believes that we're having endocrine system damage, that has implications that go far beyond just whether or not women have irregular periods. And it'll happen, that damage will happen to both genders. It's just that women, it's more obvious because menstruation is such an obvious signal. So they're preventing physicians from being aware of what the true risks are so that they are not able to prevent those risks from manifesting, and so we'll have even more of the long-term consequences than we could have had if they hadn't been withholding this information. It goes on and on and on, and it has to stop.
But you said that the emergency use authorization will stay in place. So these vaccines will stay experimental, and there is no way for people to sue for harms that they cause.
That appears to be the case, and I think there are multiple investigators now that have documented the contract terms that the Department of Defense has implemented that has supported the manufacture and production of these products, which under those terms, those federal contracting terms, which bypass the normal federal acquisition regulations, I'm talking about the other transactional authority contracts that were issued. None of these were ever supposed to be supporting an actual product. The terms of the contracts that were used was that they were just supposed to be used for demonstration products, not for actual products. And so the case can well be made that what's happened here is not that Pfizer has necessarily committed fraud, but that Pfizer has provided the fraud that the U.S. government ordered them to provide. That's where we're at, and that's why it's going to be so hard to hold these people accountable, is the real fraud that's happened here is within the U.S. government itself.
You said it would be hard, but not impossible.
I'm not a lawyer.
Yeah, right.
And so I don't know. I know many lawyers, and I know many lawyers that have been trying to find some way to hold the government accountable. The two attorney generals, I think it's Missouri and Louisiana, have found one angle, and that is to sue big tech together with the federal government for their collusion to conspire to circumvent the First Amendment and restrict free speech. But how do we protect and compensate the people that have died and been damaged by these products under the system where there's just layers and layers of indemnification? And it all comes back to whether or not you can sue the U.S. government. That's the position that Pfizer is taking right now, is that they're not guilty of fraud. They've done exactly what the government asked them to do.
Sir, any message of hope to Americans watching us at home?
Yeah, there's a lot of hope. One is that people should become active. They have to become active if they don't want their children to live in an environment in which they are functionally indentured servants. And that's the beauty of fifth generation warfare technology, is they can learn that. The first thing that happens if they understand it, and you can look it up on the internet, you can find some electronic books, you can find Michael Flynn's book that's an easy read about fifth generation warfare. Once you understand it, it's just like understanding marketing. When you understand how we get sold hamburgers and French fries and chocolate shakes, then you're less susceptible to those techniques. You can see through them. You can see how they're trying to manipulate us to buy junk food is one example, or pharmaceuticals is another example. If you learn fifth gen warfare, you can see through the propaganda and become more immune to these efforts to manipulate what you think and believe and what you feel. But beyond that, once you begin to understand them and practice them on social media, we can have millions of social media warriors that are skilled in fifth generation warfare, and we can beat them at their own game if people are willing to get involved and take command and stop feeling like victims, stop defining yourself as a victim, start defining yourself as a warrior. The other thing is that when you come to terms with fifth generation warfare and what's been done to all of us over the last 3 years, then it becomes easier to forgive or at least to accept those people that have often in your daily life, I'm not talking about the perpetrators, the people that have been the puppet masters controlling all of this and putting these policies in place, but the people in your daily life, your family, the people you see in the grocery store that are still wearing the masks, instead of hating them and laughing at them, even though they've hated us and laughed at us and said horrible things about how we should all be basically corralled into concentration camps, denied medical treatment, all of these ugly, ugly things that have been promoted by the U.S. government and their agents, their paid agents, we can at least open our hearts to these people and say they are the victims, they are the true victims of the propaganda. And fortunately, some of us, maybe only 20%, have been able to see through the propaganda and be resistant to it. But now it's our opportunity to lead the nation and to bring them out of this mass formation or this hypnosis that they've been that has been crafted around them through the application of this military-grade PSYOPs technology. And if we wish to succeed, we have to bring them along. We have to help them to understand what's been done here, and we can never do that if we have hate in our heart.
Thank you for this important message, Doctor. That was Dr. Robert Malone, everyone. Thank you for watching. I'm Veronica Kirilenko of the New American Magazine.